For your singing this evening. Good to see you. Good to be here with you tonight. Still haven't found my bifocals, so you're all a little fuzzy. Yeah. I'm always a little fuzzy anyway, to be honest. So. Trust you had a good afternoon. Today was, I mentioned it this morning, today felt like a napping day, the rain coming down. And anybody get a nap in today? I know I did. Yep, good. Should be a competition, you know. It should be a team group out there for nappers who are really good at it. Some days I'm not so good at it. I'll have a nap, wake up grumpier than I did when I went and had the nap. I don't know why, but today wasn't that day. So, yeah. Don't wake up grumpy. Let her sleep. Well, it's good to be with you folks again this evening, and trust that you had a good afternoon. And as we kind of finish off the day this evening, we're going to be in Exodus. Chapter six, and Lord willing, into chapter seven a little bit. And I pray that it'll be a blessing and encouragement to you. One of the things that I love about preaching expositorially is you'll work your way through a book of the Bible, and throughout the book, you'll often come across topics that just kind of blossom out of the account. And so this evening, as we take a look at where Moses is, we're going to highlight a specific topic is what I'll say, and we'll get to that in just a minute. Just to catch us up, of course, Moses has been called of the Lord God, and we're a bit down the line here at this point, and Moses has faced some difficulties. He went to Pharaoh. Pharaoh didn't seem all that interested in listening. Things got a lot harder for the nation of Israel. The slave masters got the whips out. The people were idle, according to Pharaoh. You guys want to go and worship your God in the wilderness? You have too much time in your hands. What do you mean, worship your God? I don't think so. You got work to do. And, you know, we kind of live in a bit of an Egypt ourselves these days, and a lot of times the world expects all of our time, even the time that we want to set aside for the Lord God. And we need to be courageous and prayerful about that, that the world doesn't steal all our time. We give the Lord our first fruits. And that includes even our devotion to Him. And so the Lord calls us to go and to spend time with Him, to spend time in worship. And when we want to do that, the enemy wants to hinder us from doing that. Certainly that's Pharaoh's interest. He could care less. He said, I don't know the Lord. Who's he? What do I care about your God? But he's about to be introduced to the God of Israel, and he's not going to forget soon after. But we took a look at some of these things in chapter 6, starting in verse 6. I'll just remind us before we pray, and I want to take a minute or two to pray tonight. But we talked about seven different I wills. Moses was a little bit reluctant. He was kind of questioning God. You know, you didn't deliver us at all. This didn't turn out the way that I thought. Even though God told him, remember, God said, he isn't going to let you go, right? It's not going to be easy. God told him, he even allowed him that insight to say, look, you're going to go to Pharaoh, you're going to ask, let my people go. He's going to say no. And Pharaoh did say no, and Moses seems to be a little distraught and a little frustrated with that. And part of it was the response of the people and the response of Pharaoh. Okay, I can put up with him saying no, but I didn't anticipate that the bondage would get harder, that my people would have to suffer as well, that they would be frustrated with me, leaving me frustrated. And so he questions God, and he has some concerns. And in verse 1 of chapter 6, it says, then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. In other words, God's saying, hold on, I got this, it's going to be all right. And seven different times, starting in verse 6, we looked at these different I wills, just quickly, verse 6. I will bring you out, verse 6 also. I will rid you of their bondage. I will redeem you with outstretched arm, verse 7. I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. Verse 8, I will bring you onto the land. And then also verse 8, I will give it to you for an heritage. And then two interesting points I want to make before we move on. Number one, in verse 6, the Lord God begins with, wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. And when we get to the end of that little discourse I just read, it says in verse 8, I am the Lord. And what Moses needs to understand is the God of creation is not the same as the gods of Egypt. And you've got your, you know, your little gods that you guys worship, these false gods in Egypt, the god of the Nile and the god of the, you know, the animals and all of that kind of stuff. And so they need to learn that the God of all creation, the Lord of all the earth, is not the same at all. And I love the fact that God reiterates to Moses, hey, Moses, remember, I am the Lord. I am creator. I am the God of your fathers. It's different with me. You can trust me. I will do these things. Why? Because I am the Lord. I am God Almighty. I can do whatever I want. I can do the impossible. Nothing is too hard for me. And this is the same message that God will give to us throughout our lives as Christians. Over and over again, God has had to remind me what I already know, but sometimes forget in my frustrations. Doubt will creep in, and God has to remind me, hey, Tim, I am the Lord. Remember me? Be still and what? Know that I am God. What does that verse mean? You know, it's God simply saying, hey, shh, be still and remember. I'm God. And I don't mean to add a little bit of sarcasm to that. That's not the tone that I meant to take. But I mean to simply say that God would say to us, I can do this. I can do the impossible. You can trust me. I love you. I am God. And so he reiterates that a couple of times in the passage to Moses. I am the Lord. I will. Seven times. I will. And you can trust me. I am the Lord. Verse 9, though, as we pray, I'll read it. Then we'll pray. It says, and Moses spake unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not unto Moses for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. So let me pray and then we'll continue. Father, thank you for this evening. Lord, thank you for the day that we had today, the rest this afternoon, the rain, Lord, and the promise of the sun to come. We thank you, Lord, for your word. And as we worship this morning, we're thankful that now again, we have this privilege of gathering one last time on this Lord's Day and just taking one more look at your word, Father, looking for some encouragement, some help, some counsel as we head into the week that we know will be relevant because that's how you work, Father, always teaching us the things that you know we need to know. So we thank you for that. Father, we pray tonight for some that are grieving, and we're careful to mention them, Father, before your throne, that you would minister to them, comfort them. Others, Lord, that are struggling with illness, and many that we don't see within our midst that would want to be here but can't, comfort them, Father, we pray. And then, Lord, we pray for those who are traveling. Give them journey's mercies tonight as they're away from us. And then, Father, we just ask for your blessing on each one that's made the effort and taken the time to be here tonight, Lord. Encourage our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Moses speaks to the children of Israel. Remember, they're already frustrated with Moses. Moses came out and Aaron from Pharaoh, and they passed by the people, and the people kind of said, hey, what's wrong with you? Look at the trouble you caused. Look at the trouble that we're into now. And they won't give us our straw to make bricks, and they're beating us, and they want us to make as many as we did before. This is all your fault. And Moses goes to God saying, what's going on? I don't understand why this is happening. And God says, now you will see. And we've read through those things. But verse 9, it's interesting because we can relate to the frustration of the people. It says, and Moses spake unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not unto Moses. They wouldn't listen to Moses for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. Listening. Life is hard. Things got worse when you started to meddle. I don't want to hear what you have to say. I give up. I'm throwing it all away. Don't talk to me anymore. And this is where they are right now. Remember, not too long ago, what were they doing? They were bowing and worshiping with Moses. They were literally praising God together. Let me read it. In verse 31, it says, and the people believed, chapter 4, and when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshiped. Two chapters later, they don't even want to talk about it. You know, that's just what we're like. We're kind of fickle. And when difficulties come, we tend to throw in the towel. We tend to doubt. We tend to say, you know what, this isn't working. We're not going to do this anymore. We give up. And the people are saying, no, we don't want to hear it. We give up for anguish of spirit because of the cruel bondage. And so now Moses is also frustrated. Verse 10, and the Lord spake unto Moses, go in, speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that he let the children of Israel go out of his land. And Moses spake before the Lord, saying, behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened unto me. How then shall Pharaoh hear me? Who am I of uncircumcised lips? He says, look, Lord, the people won't even listen to me. And if my own people won't listen to me, why would Pharaoh listen to me? Now, that sounds like a pretty valid point, doesn't it? Okay, there seems to be some reason and logic there, except God has already told you what he's going to do. He already told Moses, he's not going to let you go, but don't worry, in the end he will. I'm going to lead you out. He said, I will do these things. Seven times he said, I will. We can reiterate. I will bring you out. I will rid you of your bondage. I will redeem you. I will take you to myself. I will be your God. I will bring you into a land. I will give it to you as an inheritance. I am the Lord. I can do this. Trust me. And this is what we forget. And this is what Moses is learning not to forget. As he's frustrated and the people are frustrated and he says, God, they're not listening to me. Why would Pharaoh listen to me? This isn't working. Let's just call it quits. And the topic that has kind of come up as we look through this is the topic of doubt. It's what we do sometimes, Christians. We sometimes get frustrated because of the difficulties we face, and we start to doubt. And it's that doubt that sort of unsettles us and causes us to, you know, to question what we're doing. And we might even question God. God, what are you doing? You know, that's what Moses did. I thought you were going to deliver us, but you haven't delivered us at all. It's gotten harder. The people are upset. And so Moses begins to doubt, and he says as much. Look, I don't think this is going to work, God. God reiterates the challenge here, or what he's doing is reiterated in verse 13 and 14. Let me just read these verses. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, and gave them a charge unto the children of Israel and unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. These be the heads of the fathers' houses, the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, Hanok and Palu and Hezron and Carmi. These be the families of Reuben. And I'll stop there so I don't slaughter all of the poor names of these people. In this genealogy, this is inserted in order to help identify the lineage of Moses and Aaron, to confirm they are who they said they are, and that they were called. These are, in fact, Aaron and Moses, of so-and-so, of so-and-so, of so-and-so, who begat. And there will be no questions as to who the Lord has called. That's the reason for the genealogy list, to confirm that. Jumping down to verse 28, and it came to pass on the day when the Lord spake unto Moses in the land of Egypt, that the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I am the Lord, there it is again, speak unto Pharaoh king of Egypt all that I say unto thee. And Moses said before the Lord, behold, I am of uncircumcised lips, and how shall Pharaoh hearken unto me? He said, I can't speak good. I'm not good at this. The people won't listen. Why would Pharaoh listen? And again, we have Moses doubting that this is going to work. And really, that's what we're talking about. Moses isn't saying, yeah, I know, God, you're right. Yeah, I know it's going to work out okay. Yeah, I know this. There's signs and wonders, and you're going to use me, and it's all going to be fine, and you're going to bring glory to yourself, but I don't want to. What he's saying is, Lord, I don't think this is going to work. This doesn't feel very good right now. This isn't working out the way that I expected it to. How often does that happen to us, Christian, when we pray about something or we wait on the Lord to deliver us or to help us, and we already have in our mind what that looks like? It always, for me, it always looks like, you know, easy, lots of money, all those things. Lord, if you would just do this, it'd be perfect. And God's like, yeah, I think we'll do it my way. And I'm always so thankful that he does. But it takes us a while. And he is patient with us. Moses is doubting. Things didn't work out the way that he expected, despite the fact that God told him what happened was what was going to happen. But the flesh is weak. Spirit is what? Willing, but the flesh is weak. And doubt creeps in. I want to talk a little bit about that. Let me share with you a little poem here, because I like to do that. And just before I do, turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. I'm going to read a couple of verses here, just kind of one-off verses that talk a little bit about this topic, the subject of doubt. Before we do, let me read this poem to you. Each step I take throughout the day, his word a lamp to show the way, he'll not forsake nor cast away, my Lord is here with me. As Satan seeks to fill my mind, to mock the weak or be unkind, tempting me to waste my time, my Lord is here with me. When burdens filled with deep despair invade my mind and linger there, a weight too great for me to bear, my Lord is here with me. These moments when I feel alone and long for my eternal home, my prayer, a sad and desperate groan, my Lord is here with me. And one last line, holding this truth close is key. From fear and doubt, I am set free. With eyes of faith, I choose to see. My Lord is here with me. And it's grabbing a hold of that truth. Every time we get a little unsettled, every time doubt begins to creep in, every time we start to rely upon our own wisdom, lean on our own understanding, trust in our own strength, and we remember, wait a second, I'm getting a little unsettled, I'm starting to doubt, I'm getting a little bit nervous, or whatever the case might be, we remember, this is key, the Lord is here with me. And in remembering that, we can remember many other things. For example, just before we look at these verses, we doubt when it gets uncomfortable, right? When everything's going great, it's not a problem. It's if everything feels good and looks good and smells good and sounds good, then hey, I got no. Well, let's do this all day long. But when we start to get uncomfortable, things start to heat up a little bit. Maybe we feel a little bit of pain, a little bit of suffering. That's when we start to doubt. Maybe this isn't such a good idea. I don't know about this. Why? Well, it doesn't feel good anymore. I'm not as comfortable with this. Do you know, being uncomfortable isn't always a bad thing. We are, in many ways, being tried in the fires of tests and trials so that we can come forth purified and like gold, that the Master would see His reflection in our lives. And ultimately, that is what we pray for, and that is what we want. But then it gets uncomfortable. It gets a little hot in the furnace, so to speak, and we start to doubt. Maybe this wasn't such a great idea, Lord. And it's just good to recognize, when do I doubt? When do we doubt? Often it's when we get uncomfortable. It might be fear that causes me to be uncomfortable. This is scary. I don't like this. It might be pain, physical or emotional. It could be the effort that it's going to take. This is going to be a lot of work. Maybe I won't bother. You know, the people, the Lord once said, had a mind to work. You know, and God will help us with that. It might even be shame. Shame might be the issue. Maybe we're embarrassed. That's what's making us uncomfortable. Being mocked, being ridiculed, being criticized, being separated from others because of our faith in Christ. And so we start to doubt. Maybe I won't be so faithful. Maybe I won't be so outspoken about my faith. Maybe I'll turn it down a little bit and you know, because I don't like how it feels. And we will doubt when we're uncomfortable. What we need to remember, though, is that God is faithful. He said to the Lord, or the Lord said to His disciples, and I love these examples, O ye of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Right? They were uncomfortable. That's why, Lord, we thought we were going to drown. There's a storm coming. You were sleeping. We thought we were going to perish. That's why we doubted. And what He wants them to know, as I said last week, is you don't have to. You are at liberty to trust me instead of doubt. You are free from concern and worry, though it might not always be comfortable. I'm in control and I love you. You can trust me. We doubt when it gets uncomfortable. Job got a little uncomfortable, and he started to question God. He wasn't sure why things were happening the way that they were. And that's, again, just an example. This is not something that you know, one out of every 10 deals with. I think we all deal with that. When it gets uncomfortable, we start to doubt. Lord, what's going on? Am I in sin? Did I do something wrong? Is this punishment? Or have you forsaken me? Where are you? Are you not listening to me? And so we have to remember that God is faithful. And when we get uncomfortable, we tend to doubt. When things seem impossible, we doubt. Remember the man in Mark chapter 9? His daughter was sick. He goes to the Lord, and the Lord was so busy with people and different things going on that a servant finally came to the man and said, sorry, your daughter has passed away. Don't bother the Master any further. And as soon as Jesus heard that, the Lord Jesus Christ said, only believe. And the man said, I believe. Help mine unbelief. That was a funny thing to say, isn't it? I believe, but help mine unbelief. He said, I'm trying to believe. I'm doing what I can, but there's still a measure of doubt there. There's still a measure of fear there. And often that's what happens. When things seem impossible, we start to doubt. I'll pray and ask the Lord to deliver me from something or to answer some prayer, and then I'll get up and demonstrate that I doubt He'll do anything about it. I get up and say, well, now make a phone call and call the bank, or make a phone call and call my bill collector, and you know, and worry and stress and be grumpy with my family. And none of that is demonstrating faith. And that's exactly what God wants to deliver us from. You don't have to do all that. Just trust me. Have a nice day. Really, Lord? Yeah. Cast your cares upon me. I care for you. And we can trust him. And we sometimes doubt when we're uncomfortable or when things seem impossible. God can do the impossible, Mark 10:27, with man. It is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. And so we don't have to doubt. We can trust him. Another quick point, sometimes we doubt when we trust ourselves. We doubt when we trust in us. And instead, we need to trust in just him. But when we start to trust in ourselves, when I start to take matters into my own hand and I you know, do it my way, then that's when doubt starts to come in, because I'm trusting my own strength. And I know myself, and I know I'm weak, and I know I can't do the impossible, and I know I don't like it when it gets uncomfortable. And so when I trust in myself, this tends to be what happens. When we trust in the Lord, we often have a different outcome. Abraham, at one point, got a little concerned. God said he was going to have a child, that he would have an heir, an offspring, but, you know, nothing was happening. And so him and his wife worked out a different arrangement, and they were just concerned that maybe what God said wasn't going to happen. And things got a little hairy there. Ishmael was born, and we know how that all unfolded. But ultimately, God kept his word, and he had his own child. Isaac was born. But he doubted. And so we do from time to time. It seems impossible. It gets uncomfortable. Or we trust in ourselves instead of trusting in him. Just quickly, here's what we can do. Three things. When doubt creeps in, number one, believe. Believe. Believe what God's word says. Believe in his promises. Trust in just him. And it is a matter of making that effort to say, hold on a second, I'm getting a little bit unsteady here. James chapter 1 says, and when we ask of God, let nothing waver. Ask in faith, nothing wavering, because he that wavereth is like a sea, like a wave tossed to and fro in the sea, unstable, double-minded in all his ways. And the Lord doesn't want us to be like that. He says, you just trust me. Believe. When I start to become fearful, when I start to become uncomfortable, when I think it's impossible, what can I do? I can believe what God says. God says nothing is impossible with him. God says he loves me. And he says, I will order your steps. I will lead you. And so we can trust him. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I will encamp round about you. So the first thing we can do is, when we doubt, is believe. Number two, remember. Remember all of the other times that he was faithful, all the other times that he delivered you. You know, we sometimes, it's funny how it works. He'll deliver me, you know, five times a day, and then we get to the very last challenge of the day, and I'll forget about the first five times that he answered my prayer and delivered me. And, you know, the Lord is so patient with us. But it really is a matter of just remembering. Oh, wait a second. I can remember what God's word says. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Pick any verse that encourages us, any promise that God made. Remember the word of God. And that he loves us, and that he keeps his promises. We believe, yep. We remember, and then finally, we follow. We just keep going. You know, when the three Hebrews were thrown into the furnace, they had already committed themselves to the Lord God. They did not know how it was going to turn out. They even said to Nebuchadnezzar, if we perish, we perish. No, that was Esther. Same idea. They said, if our God wants to rescue us, he can. If he doesn't, we're fine with that. We're not going to bow. But Esther's a good example as well. She didn't know how it was going to turn out either. I'll go before the king. If I perish, I perish. I'm going to do the right thing. Daniel was lowered into the lion's den. He didn't know. He said, I'm going to pray. I'm just going to keep doing the right thing. I'm going to pray. You got to do what you got to do, king. Sorry for you, but I'm going to pray. He did. Lowered him into the lion's den, and Daniel got to experience God's protection, God's power. You know, we don't always know how it's going to turn out, but follow him anyway. Just follow him. That's part of the liberty. That's part of the adventure that we have as Christians. We can trust him. Believe him. Remember what he said and follow him. And when doubt comes in, it's a good practice to remember, to reiterate these things. I can believe you, God. I can trust you. I'm going to remember what your word says, and I'm going to follow you nonetheless. Luke chapter 12, verse 29. Again, we're just jumping in here. We'll start in verse 28. The Lord God, or Christ, I should say, is talking about trusting in him and having faith in him. And I clothe the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven. You know, if I'm going to dress the fields and adorn the fields with flowers and beauty, how much more am I going to clothe you, O ye of little faith? And ultimately, doubt is the opposite of faith. And it's faith that God wants us to grow in. Verse 29, and seek not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of what? Anxious, doubtful, paranoid, concerned. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? And the Lord Jesus Christ literally tells us, you don't have to be anxious. You don't have to be doubtful. Don't be of that way of thinking. The Bible tells us to have a mind like Christ, trusting, obedient, faithful, unwavering. And here he's reminding us again, don't be of a doubtful mind. Don't worry and wonder how things are going to unfold. Turn also to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Just a couple of verses to consider here before we move on in Exodus. Verse 22 and 23. Mark chapter 11. Verse 22, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. He's saying the same thing over and over again. Believe me, trust me. We won't lie to you. God won't lie. The Father won't lie to us. I won't lie to you. Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, by the way, just a little precursor here, or I'll stick this in. God is not saying that, you know, if you see a mountain and you want to show off and just, you know, throw that mountain into the ocean, that God will give you the power to do that. The mountain is an example. The key here, or the focus of the verse, is trust me, have faith. When you ask me for things according to my will, then believe that I'm going to answer your prayer according to my perfect will. It doesn't matter what it is. If it's according to my will that this mountain be thrown into the sea and you ask me for it, it'll happen. You can trust me. You don't have to doubt. I can do the impossible. And this is an incredible truth to know this. And what the Lord is teaching is no matter what it is, if it's according to the will of the Father, you know, there's people that I thought would never be saved that walk with the Lord today. And there's people that I wonder, Lord, will they be saved? Well, it's not impossible. God is able. And so I pray, knowing that. There's been people that have been healed of diseases that the doctor said, you're not going to live another day. I know a couple that's been on their motorcycle traveling the last 3 or 4 summers like they always did, and the last trip they took was supposed to be 3 or 4 summers ago. Right? Doctor said, that's it. It's all done for you. But the Lord had other plans. Prayer played a role in that. You know, God can do the impossible. And ultimately, no matter what happens, we can trust him, even if it's uncomfortable. Just quickly look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, and then we'll go back to Exodus. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I just want to reiterate the word one more time. Our topic word, doubt. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Scoot all the way down to verse 8. It says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath, and doubting. Such a simple little truth, but we can see quite clearly that scriptures teach us to trust him. Don't doubt. Nothing doubting. Don't be angry. Don't do it for the wrong reasons, and don't be doubtful. When you pray, trust me and pray. Everybody pray. Everybody pray everywhere. And when you do, don't doubt. Don't say to yourself, and how often do we do that? It can be a real battle. And by the way, the enemy's in the details there. The devil wants us to doubt. He wants us to be distracted in our prayer lives, and he wants us to doubt God and to lack in that faith. But the Lord will teach us amazing things. You know, one of my favorite books is George Mueller's autobiography. It's a funny book to really, I've read that book many times. And I often only read it because I know it, but I want to remember the kind of faith that George Mueller had. And he would often start his day, well, he would always start his day in prayer, but often there would be challenges. And when a challenge came up, George Mueller would excuse himself and slip into his office and bow in prayer, and he would pray on the spot for a need that was happening right there. You know, the kids are gathered, the orphans are around the table, and, you know, there are dozens of these children waiting to be fed, but there is no food. And so George Mueller would say, well, let me talk to my father about this. And he would slip in and he would pray. And And then there would be a knock. One time he wrote about how there was a knock on the door, and a baker who had all kinds of bread had broken down out front of the orphanage. And, well, I got to give the bread to someone. It's just going to go stale. And so George Mueller said, well, we'll take your bread, thank you, and fed the orphans that day. And that happened continuously. And how much joy and how much wonder and how much enthusiasm and excitement did he have in his life, though there was difficulties and he struggled with illness and poverty, yet God met every need, one right after another. Very evident. The Lord was there all the time. And that's the kind of life that the Lord wants us to live, just trusting in him and believing that he'll do as he says. So doubt is a challenge, and it was a challenge for Moses. And that, for some reason, is strangely encouraging. Right? Don't pick on yourself. Even Moses doubted, right? And that's sort of the way that we sometimes need to think about it. God is growing us all, and we all struggle with these things, but he is patient, and he is good. Moses was struggling, chapter 7, verse 1. Kind of changes gears a little bit, and the Lord gives a bit of a pep talk as Moses said, who am I? He won't listen to me. Pharaoh won't listen. I'm nobody. I'm a man of unclean or uncircumcised lips. And then verse 1 of chapter 7, it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. You know, it's kind of funny. I don't know what, you know, if the Lord uses a tone of voice when he speaks, or you know, what that would have sounded like when he said that to Moses. But here's the way that I listen, or here's the way that I hear God saying this. It's like a pep talk. It's like, no, it's okay. It's going to be fine. And the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. You're going to stand in for me. It's okay. You don't have to be. Look, listen to what I'm saying to you. You're going to be to Pharaoh as I am, and Aaron's going to be the prophet. I've got this all worked out. You can trust me. And so he encourages him once again. Verse 2, thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh that he send the children of Israel out of his land. And then he, once again, fills them in on how this is going to go. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. You see, Moses is only thinking sort of in one way. Got to get the people out. Got to get the people out. The people need to be on board. God's going to lead us out. God's like, I got way more things going on than just that. And one of those things is, I'm going to introduce myself to planet Earth, to Egypt, through my signs and wonders and through Pharaoh's wicked, hard heart. And he's going to get what he wants. He isn't going to like it. And I'm going to allow him to harden his heart against me, and I will harden his heart as well, according to God's perfect will, so that the glory of God will be made known through signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh, he says, shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt. So he tells him once again, Moses, Pharaoh's not going to let them go. He's not going to make this easy for you. So expect that. Expect confrontation. Expect this to be a bit of a challenge. But, and he tells him also how it's going to end, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth mine armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. So eventually, I'm going to lead you out. And it's going to be by his power, or God says, by my power that I do that. Verse 15, and the Egyptians said, the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch forth mine hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them, so did they. And Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 years old when they spake unto Pharaoh. We're going to end there this evening for time's sake. Just as we close, one last thing. 80 years old. How old is that? That's 80 years old. You know, at 80 years old, if I'm still around, I see myself kicking back in a rocking chair somewhere, just, you know, gumming my applesauce and taking it easy. Moses is an 80-year-old man. Aaron is 83 at this point. You know, God doesn't pick the strongest, the youngest, and the most healthy, and the most, you know, brave, and the most wise. We are noticing some things about Moses, haven't we? Even though he's certainly a man's man, he chased away some shepherds, defended some women, got himself a wife out of that deal. He defended his brother at one point, a Hebrew, and killed an Egyptian, so he's definitely able to throw his weight around when he wants to. And yet he seems to be a little afraid, and he's doubting God. And he says, you know, get somebody else to do this. I don't think this is going to work. They're not listening to me. Pharaoh's not going to listen to me. And God is saying, look, you listen to me. And it's sometimes all of the other noises and all of the other distractions that cause us to doubt the one that we never have to doubt. I doubt myself. I doubt the world around me. I doubt all the helps and all those things that we see around us. Ultimately, everything is imperfect, but God isn't. And one of the things that Moses needed to learn that I think God was saying to him is, Moses, you just listen to me. Do as I say. Don't worry about, I'm telling you, this is how it's going to go. But in the end, I will lead my people out. And so with all the noises, Moses' own people weren't happy. Pharaoh's not happy. Egyptians aren't happy. Everybody's telling Moses it isn't going to work. It's getting harder. He's starting to suffer. He's starting to struggle. And he's starting to doubt. And God has to give him a pep talk. He says, hey, it's okay. Trust me. You listen to me. Keep your eyes on me. And likewise, Christian, as we leave, whatever challenge that you face this week, leave it with the Lord. Just pray about it. And trust the Lord with it. You know, it's again, so liberating to say, Lord, look, here's my challenge. It's this. And I can't do a thing to change it, but I believe that you can, and I'm asking you to do your perfect will. You have your way with this, and I'm not going to worry about it anymore. I'm going to leave it with you and trust you with this. You know, I believe that's what God wants us to do. That's the attitude that God wanted Moses to have. You just listen to me and do what I say. It's going to be okay. And when we start to doubt and we start to make our own adjustments and we tweak God's plans and we go our own way, it's because we're a little afraid and we're not trusting God. That's when we get into trouble. But when we just do as he asks, it might not be easy, but we can see him do impossible things. And in the end, we can trust him. Anyway, just a few more thoughts from Exodus. And we'll get into some more of this next week. Moses is going to introduce some of the signs that God has shown Moses to give to Pharaoh. And things are about to get interesting. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for, again, this evening. And Lord, you know our weaknesses. You know that we struggle with doubt and fear. And Father, we are so grateful for your patience with us. We often come to you over and over again, even about the same thing. We have the same fear, the same concerns. And it sometimes takes a while for me to learn. It takes us a while to begin to remember and to reflect in all of the times you never failed us once. So thank you for your patience. Help us, Lord, to learn, to grow in our faith, to trust you, to remember that your word is true, that we can believe exactly what you say. We don't have to be afraid, Lord. Help us to remember that, and then help us simply to follow you. Lord, that even if we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you're there with us, and you'll lead us out. Lord, help us to grasp a hold of that wonderful liberty, that we don't have to worry about anything. We don't have to be afraid of anything because we know you, because you're with us. We thank you for it. We ask your blessing as we close. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing one more time as we close here.